We're back with more of Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Bonnie North. A couple of weeks ago, our material culture contributor, Jennifer Fields, asked a unique question. What single tool would you use to help you get through a normal day? Chances are, for most of us, we couldn't imagine being limited to just one item. But the question gets even trickier if you're an artist. Think of a painter having to choose their palette or their brush. Still, artists throughout Wisconsin responded in droves last spring to the One Tool Challenge put forth by Milwaukee's Chipstone Foundation. But as Jennifer Fields found out, at least one Stoughton-based goldsmith found a clever workaround.
In her workspace in Madison, master goldsmith Missy Howard is contemplating how to repair a small silver earring for a client. The work brings her back to her early start in jewelry making.
I made my very first ring when I was 5 years old because my dad's a jeweler, so he had me come up to the shop, and I made a little silver ring with a little daisy in it.
To make the repair, she selects one simple small pair of pliers. But it's hard to imagine Howard being limited to just one tool. Her workbench isn't messy, but it's scattered with files, drill bits, and various hammers.
I feel most at home sitting at a bench. You know, it's always here for me. You know, my tools are always here. They never talk back to me. They don't leave a mess if I don't make them messy. They don't, you know, they're reliable. They're quiet and they're useful, which is so, there's so few things in life that are that reliable.
Weeks ago, I challenged her to pick out her favorite tool. I said, hey, if you had to use only one tool to create a piece of jewelry, what would it be? First, she tries to distract me.
A lot of the techniques that I use are thousands of years old. They've been doing this stuff since the Egyptians, and they didn't have much of anything to work with. And so I was thinking about it from that perspective and from the perspective of if I had to give up all of my tools, and I probably have 200-300 tools sitting right in front of me, if I had to get all of them up and still try and make a living.
And then she caves.
I couldn't narrow it down to one. I could not do it. I couldn't do it. There's not just one tool that I could use that I could survive with. So I made a multi-tool. And it's very simple. Basically, it would be my jeweler's saw here, which is kind of a square-framed thing with a little saw blade in it and a handle. And I would put like this. I would put a hammer head on the bottom of the handle like that so I could have a hammer. And then I would put a pliers coming off the backside of this here. So it would be a hammer plier saw.
I've known Howard long enough to recognize the I've been busted and I don't even care look on her face. Oh, now it's pity party time.
I mean, if I just had a saw, all I could basically do would be cut out shapes in a solid shapes. That would be it. And just a pair of pliers, all I could do would wrap things. And I don't really enjoy wrapping things that much, that I would only want to ever wrap things. And without a hammer, like, metal gets hard, so I can't really bend it with my... I mean, I have my hands, and I can do a lot with just my hands, but my fingernails will only bend so much metal before they will just break off. So I need pliers for that.
But there's another reason why she's so attached to her tools. Not long ago, Howard was driving at night along a stretch of highway in the dead center of Kansas. A semi crossed the center line. Howard ended up in a ditch with everything she owned scattered across a field. I've heard her say all she cared about were her tools.
These pliers I've had since I was 13 years old. I've used these for that long. They used to be longer. I don't want to give those up. I'm emotionally attached to them. These two. I got these two pliers when I was a child. These I stole from my dad, and I told him that I stole them. I wasn't giving them back, and then he said I could have them. I've had those forever, and I love them. All my cutting tools, my loop. I've had this since I was a small child. I mean, is this considered a tool? Is magnification considered a tool?
The loop is a small plastic cone jewelers use to see tiny things. And yes, it's a tool.
I'm just not going to make anything cool ever again with that one tool. That's why I was stressed about it. I can't make anything cool with that. I mean, I could survive, you know. I could do like wire wrap rings. And I could wrap seashells or whatever. Might as well just move to Jamaica and sit on the beach and braid people's hair and make seashell rings out of wire and crap. I don't know. I just feel like my tools are a part of me. And they were all not happy that I was looking at them all going, I could probably do without you. No, I couldn't. I might have to. No, I can't. This is the conversation that I had at my bench going, what do I do?
But Howard has a plan, a crafty plan, a devious plan, and absolutely no shame.
I'm putting a secret compartment in the handle of my multi-tool. I'm going to have an endless supply of saw blades, too, by the way. And I'm not considering them each a tool. I'm cheating on this one.
The small broken earring sits on a stone on Howard's workbench. She uses a small torch to heat the earring as she prepares to solder on a new post. Using a pliers and a bit of solder, she attaches the post to the earring and drops it in a liquid bath to cool. The earring is repaired, and I'm counting more than one tool was used in the process. I'm just saying.
You said that I could make a multi-tool, and so that's what I did.
Only because you browbeat me.
I know.
And you're bigger than I am. I was scared.
I'll hit you with my multi-tool.
Contributor Jennifer Fields produces and curates the series It's a Material World. That project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts. Fields is a material culture student at UW-Madison, and she talked with Stoughton-based master goldsmith Missy Howard. You can find more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Now that the weather is warm, it's a perfect time for some star watching. Astronomy contributor Gene Creighton joins us next with a list of good things to spot in the night sky. Lake Effect Weekend returns in just a moment on Milwaukee Public Radio.